Hi, my name is Louis Verrecchio, and I'd like to share a story with you about our Heavenly Father's divine mercy and of the undying love of our Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. All glory, praise, and honor to Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I call this story, My Father in the Mirror, one man's journey back to the Catholic Church. And that man is me. I'm a cradle Catholic, raised in a family of seven in the 1960s and 70s in Baltimore, Maryland. Growing up, we had Mass every Sunday, fish every Friday, and prayers before bedtime. There were statues on the shelves, crucifixes on our bedroom walls, and palm crosses tucked into nooks and crannies all over the house. My childhood home was ruled with an iron fist by my father, Luigi Giovanni Verrecchio Sr. The son of immigrants, he was the stereotypical hot-headed, violent Italian tough guy, raised in the scrappy ethnic neighborhoods of Brooklyn, New York with his 10 siblings. Now, my father's take on being a good Catholic was, by all appearances, pretty simple. Send the kids to Catholic schools and you make sure they go to Mass every week. Funny thing was, though, I don't remember my father ever leaving the house on a Sunday morning with the rest of us. I do remember pretty well, though, a Sunday afternoon in 1981 when I was 19 years old. My younger brother Ronnie and I were the only ones still living at home with our father at that point, as our three older sisters had since moved out and our mom had died in the previous year. Well, for some reason, Ronnie and I missed Mass that day, and our father was furious. As he yelled and screamed and cussed at us, I guess the look on my face must have betrayed what I was thinking, because right on cue, he pointed that cigar-shaped finger in my face and said, "And don't you ask me why I don't go. The Lord and I have a covenant. I don't have to go." As you can imagine, my brother and I walked away from that exchange shocked. Not by what our father said, though, because that was just him, but by the fact that we both managed to escape without taking a punch, because that was just him as well. My father's rage loomed as a constant threat in our house growing up, even in the best of times, and his violence spared nobody. Not my mother, not my sisters, not even the family pets. My bitterest childhood memories don't involve the things that he did to me so much, but witnessing the cruel things that he did to the people I loved the most at a time when I was powerless to help them. Now, don't get me wrong, my father had some admirable qualities too, but it would take years of perspective before I'd be able to see them, much less acknowledge them and appreciate them. My father was a hard-working provider and a fierce protector who sacrificed a great deal for his family. Growing up, we may not have had a car like pretty much everybody else that we knew, but we always had good food on our table, we had a good education, and more importantly, we had a stay-at-home mom whose gentleness and kindness provided a degree of loving calmness in an otherwise hostile environment. One evening in the fall of 1981, while the three of us were at the dinner table, my father noticed that Ronnie, who was in the 11th grade at the time, wasn't wearing his high school ring, and he asked him where it was. My mom had helped Ronnie select that ring before she died, and so for my father, there was a strong sentimental connection involved with it. Well, having given this ring to his girlfriend as a sign that they were going steady, as high school boys often did in those days, Ronnie stammered for an answer, knowing that the truth would bring about terrible consequences. Before things could get totally out of hand, I chimed in, saying, "It's up on the bedroom desk, Ron. I just saw it." Well, in reality, that was my high school ring up on the desk, but other than the year and the inscription inside, our rings were identical, 14-karat gold with a multifaceted stone of Mount St. Joseph purple. "Go get it," my father said. When Ronnie returned to the dining room wearing my ring, we both knew what was coming. "Give it to me," my father demanded. The moment my father read the inscription inside of that ring, he flew out of his seat, rage focused on my brother, who was now fleeing. Sending a dining room chair crashing into the wall, my father took off after Ronnie and caught up with him at the bottom of the stairs. Pinning my brother on his back, my father began to strangle him. His fingers were wrapped so tightly around my brother's throat that the veins were bulging from his hands and his arms. Unable to resist in any way, Ronnie struggled just to breathe. Though my father was considerably stronger than me, by the grace of God, I somehow managed to pry his vice-like hands off of my brother's throat and push him away. And in the moment that he turned his rage towards me, my brother was able to escape. I was sure it was all over for me at that point, but rather than continue his tirade, my father just turned and walked away and stepped out on the back porch.